Our lesson today is from Book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord. He also told his parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector here. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I want to start by highlighting who Jesus is talking to here. It is people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. They looked down on others. Right? And they felt that they were righteous by their own efforts, their own works. So there's these people in the crowd who are self-righteous. Right? And Jesus is addressing this parable to them. Now I want to start by sharing these two irrelevant stories. So I need you guys to follow with me and ask for grace because it's sort of out there. But have you ever been in a competition or taken an exam or faced a challenge where you finished first? I remember one exam in particular. I had studied diligently, and when I completed it, I was the first in the classroom to finish. I looked around and saw all my classmates still struggling, still trying to complete theirs. And in that moment, I felt this surge of pride. The kind of pride that makes you feel like you're the smartest person in the room. I did it, I thought. I did this all on my own. Look at these people. They're still working on their tests. And in that moment, I admit, there was this sense of superiority, a quiet feeling of being above others. Now, a contrast to that story, I want to share from my life something that I can never claim that I have done it alone. And that is becoming an ordained pastor. I could have never reached this point in my life to stand before you this morning by myself. Yes, I worked hard. And yes, I dedicated myself, but I was also supported, guided, and lifted up by countless people along the way. I was greatly helped to be where I am this morning. More than that, there were moments where only God's intervention could explain what happened. miracles, opportunities, and circumstances beyond my control. Have you ever had a time where everything sort of lined up for you? Everything just worked out? Standing here today, I cannot say that my achievements were solely on my own. Now, I want you to let you know, I'm not being humble. I'm telling you the truth of the matter. And the truth is, I could not have done this and be in this position if it were left to my own devices. So now you heard those two relevant stories, but I want to ask you, why was it possible for me to feel pride and content for my classmates in the first story, but not in my second story? Am I making sense? Did the question make sense? Yes. How come I could be like, I did this on my own, I'm better than everyone else, whereas in my second story, I couldn't do that? What is the difference? Jesus. But because I know in my second story that I have been helped, it would be foolish of me to be arrogant about something I didn't do by myself. It just wouldn't make sense, right? How could I be arrogant? Look, I did this all by myself. Look, this is all my work. Look, I'm better than everyone else. How could I do that when I myself have been helped greatly? And that's the difference, right? In the first story, I felt like I could do that because I did it by myself. But in the second story, I could never do that. That just wouldn't be true because I know that I have been helped, that I couldn't do this by myself, that I needed God and everyone around me to help me. Why do I share this story? And why do I want you guys to understand these 2 points? It's because of this. In our scripture this morning, Jesus is talking to people, right? These people, they trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Now, based on the stories that I've shared, why do you think, or how could these people be contemptful to others? Does that make sense? Did my question make sense? How could they show contempt to others? Right? It's the same reason how I could show contempt in my first story. Because I thought, and because they thought, they did this on their own, without any help, without anyone's support. They think they were righteous. They think they were good. They think they were a great person, trusting in their own abilities. And they thought that they weren't helped. I believe that we ought to look at our own self when we start showing contempt for others, when we start thinking that we're better than others, when we start thinking that we are more righteous than others, when we start pointing fingers. There's something going on in our hearts when that happens. humility naturally follows when we see the truth that we are not self-made, that we are dependent, and our lives are gifts to be grateful for, not trophies to boast about. Those who look down on others believe they have achieved everything on their own, forgetting that every blessing, every success, every step of life is a gift. This is what pride does. It distorts the truth, and it tries to elevate ourselves so much so that it reduces God. And you can hear it in the Pharisee's prayer. I thank you that I am not like other people, like the thieves, rogues, and tax collectors. I give tithe and I fast twice a week. His prayers wasn't really a conversation with God. It was a self-congratulation speech. He doesn't ask for mercy or even his need for God because he failed to recognize his need for grace. He believed his goodness made him righteous and right with God. But think about the issue with this belief. If we think we can be made righteous by our own works without God, why would we need God for? Why would there be a need for prayer? You see what pride does? It reduces the significance of the need for God in our lives. I love what Michael shared right before we sang that song. It is by his power, by his love, by his grace, not ours. Do you believe that? Do we believe that this morning? But it doesn't end there. Because the Pharisee also mistakenly thought it was by his own merits and his own work, he also looked down on everyone who was asking for help, who were seeking for help to be better, who needed help. Is that how God views us? Does God see people, some needing more help than others, and that some are more righteous than others? If that were true, if our goodness and our righteousness of our own works could make us right with God, not by his power, not by his love, not by his care, but by our power, our will, our own ways of doing things, if that and only that makes us right by God, then God would have simply said to the Pharisees, good job. You're doing it. Wow, you're actually doing it. But is that how the story goes? Is that how Jesus concludes? Who goes away justified? It wasn't the Pharisee. No. Because Jesus says the one who is justified is not the Pharisee, but the tax collector, who the Pharisee show contempt. And contempt arises when we forget our own need for grace. The truth of the matter is that God sees all of us the same way. As God's children who are in need of help, in need of care, and in need of love. It is important to pray for others and for God to transform their hearts, their attitudes, their minds. So don't stop. Keep doing that. Pray for others. But we also have to guard ourselves from thinking that we are somehow more superior than them. Every time we judge that the other person will not make it to heaven, or if they're saved or not saved, we go to this text. We need to go to this text. It reminds us that we are all in need of God's grace. That being a Christian doesn't mean that we are somehow trying or need to better than anyone else. But being a Christian means that we realize that we are all in need of God's grace. You are here today. You are here today. Not because you feel like you're more righteous than others. Not because you feel like you have to prove to anyone or anyone else that you are a Christian by being in Sunday worship. No, you are here today because you also recognize your own need for God's grace. That you need God's help, that you need God's love, that you need God's care in your life. And people who come, new or old, everyone sitting next to you, behind you, they're all here today because they also need God's love, God's care, God's presence in their lives. And so, I did this before, but I want to remind you again. And I'll end with this. We can be so obsessed about our seats. It's what, pews or no pews, I guarantee you, that people will sit what they believe to be their seats. But think about who's coming through that door. Is someone who's asking for help, is someone who needs help, is someone who's looking for God in their lives. So when they sit in your seat, looking for God, asking for help, the last thing that we need to be doing is saying, hey, get out of that seat. That's my seat. Go sit somewhere else. That's the last thing, right, that we need to do. But instead, what? We ought to be able to share, make room, make space for the tax collector, not judging them, right? Not saying they don't belong. Thank God I'm not like this person. No. But looking at them equally as you yourself. I need God's grace. And look at this person. He or she is looking for God's grace too. How can we say that we're better than someone else? That we're more holier than someone else? That we're more better off than someone else when we ourselves are and have been greatly helped? It is not us who does it, but the God who loves us and the other. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.